Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of the Mum and Mama podcast, brought to you, as always, by the wonderful Golding Accountancy. I hope you are good. This week I was joined by the lovely Evie McKenzie, who spoke to me about her daughter Marnie, who was born with a cleft lip. So I found out a lot, because I didn't really know much about that, and why it happens, and the treatment, but it's very interesting. I found it very interesting. And I hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in a bit.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Work.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for coming. This is really exciting because you're with me.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing, I think when we first started doing the podcast, we did have a couple of guests maybe in person, but most of the time it's just all on Zoom, which is brilliant because then you can talk to people anywhere. But also it's so much nicer to have a conversation in person rather than, you know.
Yeah, because you can actually see someone's face. Yeah.
And you've got to worry about internet connection as well, because sometimes people freeze like midway through a sentence. And
yeah, and I know we were talking a bit about it earlier when I came in, but I'm a big believer in energy, so I that people feed off other people's energy. So
yeah,
I think it's nice to be in the same room too, kind of.
Definitely. So, hi, Evie.
Hi.
it's so funny. I've literally started so many podcasts recently with my friend Nicole, but she is like my podcast agent, because she'll be like, I've got this person, I've got that person, blah, blah. But you used to work with Nicole, didn't you?
Yeah. Very long time ago.
So does she still do your hair?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't get it done very often, let's be real.
But you said to her that you'd like to come on the podcast to talk about your lovely daughter.
Yeah, so I asked her if she thought that you'd be interested in having me on to talk about Marnie. And her facial difference.
So what? Tell us about Marnie. And I want people to come on.
Yeah.
Because everyone's got a story. Do you know what I mean? Like, and everyone's got something that should be heard by other people, I think.
For me, I think there's so much information out there that is statistical and quantitative, and it's this is 10% of this, and you know, when it comes to these kind of things, but there's no one out there saying, well, this is my experience, this is how I felt.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of like guilt and stigma when it comes to having a child that's maybe less able or different to your normal child. And I say that in quotes, because what is a normal child, But yeah, that's why I wanted to come on, because I wanted to talk about it, and just for anyone else that might be out there. Because when I found out, so Marnie has cleft lip and cleft of, I think it's called alveolus or something. I don't know the technical names, but it, her gum is split open, basically.
So, yeah, so what does that, her gum at the...
So her lip on her, so she's got, I'm trying to think what side it is now. So she's got a left side unilateral cleft lip of the lip and the gum. Right. She doesn't have cleft palate. And unilateral means it's just on one side. So there's bilateral and unilateral. If it's bilateral, you might see some kids, they have cleft on both sides. So it's like their Cupid's bow is kind of there, and then it's split on both sides, and then you'll see the lips.
Yeah.
And it can be split up into the nose, or it can be split halfway up, or it can just be...
So is it like a gap?
Yeah, it's a gap. Yeah, so it looks like a little triangle, almost. That's how I would describe it. Like a little mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's got... That's what she was born with. So she's got a gap that goes from the left side of her Cupid's bow up into her nose. So that was all open.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of her nostril, it's then closed. So it's just like a little hole here.
Okay.
I can show you
in
photos.
In between her lip and her nose.
Yeah, but it goes all the way up. And then hers is also, if you imagine like where your teeth are.
Yeah.
Hers is here as well.
So in her gum. Well, yeah. But her teeth are, well, she hasn't got.
No, teeth. She's one.
She's a baby.
Yeah. So she's got teeth in the bottom and they've come through fine. Yeah. And everything's good. She doesn't have any teeth in the top yet.
At all?
No, nothing.
Okay.
They will come through. Yeah. Apparently cleft doesn't affect the teeth actually coming in or the presence of teeth, but it can affect their shape of like how they come in.
Okay.
So they might be on top of each other, they might be like really crooked.
Yeah.
But the thing with Marnie, and that most cleft children have, her nose is very wonky. So she's had a rhinoplasty already.
Oh wow.
Yeah, so she had surgery at 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah. And then her gum, so you know where your frenulum is, so the bit in between your two middle teeth.
Yes.
Hers is like all the way over to the right. Hers is somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because her face didn't fuse properly in the womb. So that's
exactly
what it is.
What it is.
Yeah, so when the baby's growing.
Yeah.
I don't know what week it is. I can't really remember. I should have done some research before I came on, but they can see it in the scans as young as 12 weeks if they're really, really looking. But when you're born, or when you're growing, not when you're born, sorry, when you're a fetus and you're growing, your head is essentially just like two lumps. So your eyes would be like all the way over here, and then they come together.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so it like fuses down the middle.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it doesn't just grow.
No.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
No, because I didn't know anything about it.
No.
I just thought, it just...
God, that's amazing. So it is, so you is born like two halves, but then it comes together. Wow.
Yeah. And so it's the same... I think it is the same through the whole body.
Yeah.
So it's like two halves and then they fuse together. So you can have cleft of the nose. You can have... There's a young guy at the moment... he's absolutely lovely. His name's Justin Stewart, and maybe I can give you his Instagram details and stuff so you can share it with people. But he's a model, and he has cleft of his nose. And so you can see where his nose didn't fuse properly.
Yeah.
But he's so beautiful. And he's a lovely, lovely guy. So Marnie doesn't have cleft on her nose, but because the two halves of her face didn't fuse correctly...
Wow.
Yeah.
So do they know why that happens, or is it just one of those things that happens?
So they are doing more research into it. They the specialists and the doctors that we've spoken to, they aren't really sure why it happens. There's a few, from the research that I've been doing and looking into myself, I personally do believe it is genetic. So my partner has cleft.
Okay.
He has the exact same cleft as Marnie.
Oh, wow.
Same side, the exact same shape, everything. The only thing that he didn't have, his wasn't in his gum.
Yeah.
But now there's no one else on their side of the family that has it.
Yeah.
So they are conducting more research and looking into why it happens, but they don't know exactly why.
Yeah.
There's talk of if it's due to, like, nutritional problems, because it happens a lot in third world countries.
Okay.
But then the more that you look into it as well, you see that it travels down lines of families.
Yeah.
So for me, I do feel that it must be something genetic.
Whether... Did you find out when she was in you, or did you find out when she was born?
Yeah, so that's one of the great debates that I've had with so many other cleft mums, with my mother-in-law, with my mum, with so many people around us, is it a blessing or a curse to know already? Because yeah. My partner, his parents didn't know until he was born that he had it. So they didn't worry, but we found out at the 20-week scan.
Right, okay.
The only thing with cleft, though, is that it can be an indicator of other things. So a lot of the time, if a baby has cleft, then they might also have Down syndrome or something wrong with their heart or another syndrome. So actually, when we found out, it wasn't as simple as, oh, well, your baby's got this wrong with them and that's it. There was serious testing being done, so I had to have 2 fetal echocardiograms, I believe. I think I had to go to Great Ormond Street for those. So they wanted to check that her heart had fused properly and was working properly while she was in there. They also weren't sure whether she would be more affected, because they can't tell you exactly how bad it is. They can't tell you if it's going to be the palate as well, or if it's just going to be a little bit, or if it's going to be a lot. They can't tell you how bad it's going to affect the baby, but what they can tell you is, because they are worried about these other syndromes, they look at the baby, they look at how it's growing, that kind of thing. So we were actually told that, sorry if I get emotional now, we were told that we might have to terminate. So imagine you go through like 5 or 6 months of like growing this little person, and you get all these like dreams and hopes for them, and then you're told, like, actually we think that she might have something so much worse than what it is, and now we have to think about quality of life.
But would they, I didn't think that they did that. I thought, because when's the cutoff for an abortion? If I was to...
I think it's 20... Is it 24 weeks in a medical emergency?
Oh, okay. So, but if it's choice, it's...
I think it's 12.
16.
Oh, I don't know, actually.
I don't know. I think I've got 16 weeks in my head, but I'm not 100% sure. But I wasn't aware that they did that.
So there's certain syndromes where you have to look at quality of life. So some... So
but how sure can they be with that? Because I had... my friend Colette came on the podcast, and her... I bloody always forget the name of this condition. It's when they haven't got... it's when the bones don't grow.
Like dwarfism?
Or? No, it's not. In his arms. I will look. There was someone on Strictly Come Dancing with it, because my mum was watching. She was like, oh, that's what that boy's got. Her son, she put up a post, actually. They went to a concert. They were told that he might not live. And he's now in his second year of senior school. And
amazing.
His mate, they went to see a concert, and she put up a photo of... Because he can't lift his arms, and everyone had to raise their arms. And his friend was holding his arm up.
That's so sweet.
It was so sweet. So, yeah, I'm sure he's in his first year or second year at senior school. But, yeah, but so she was told that the baby might not survive. I mean, I don't think she was ever told that there might be a choice to terminate, though.
So I think there's certain conditions. So there were... I can't completely remember the name of the syndromes that they were talking about, and it wasn't Down syndrome. Let's just make that clear. Like, if you have a child with Down syndrome, they can live an amazingly happy, fulfilled life. That's not it. It would be something so severe that
there just wouldn't be any quality of life at all.
Essentially, yes.
Well, I suppose if it's the matter of the heart fusing or stuff like that, I suppose. Oh God! So how did they? So they told you all this.
Yes.
Yeah, so and they were then, like, how long did you have to wait to find out?
It all happened quite quickly. So 20-week scan, do the scan.
So you were completely oblivious to anything being wrong at all until you went for the 20-week scan.
I'm a very spiritual person. I'm just going to put it out there. I knew something was wrong. And I and I knew that something was wrong for a while. And I kept saying to my family, like, I know something's not right. And I was scared to go to this scan because I knew she was a girl. In my head, I already knew that she was a girl. I knew that there was something wrong.
Yeah.
And so when we went to the scan, I was like, I know they're going to tell me it's a girl. Don't care about that. But I know they're going to tell me something's wrong. So I was just so, like, I didn't want it. Yeah. I didn't want to go I was like, because I don't want to know. But, the poor, is it sonographer?
Yeah.
The poor sonographer, like, doing the scan, she checks. She's like, I think, let me just go and get my colleague to have a look. So then her colleague looks and they've just told us she's a girl and we're all happy because we wanted a girl. And then she's like, oh, the colleague didn't know the gender of the baby. So the colleague comes in and is like, oh, yeah, so she has cleft lip. And at this time, we've all got masks on.
Yeah.
So she can't tell that my partner's got cleft as well.
Okay, yeah.
So she's saying this. She's so nice. And she tries to lighten the mood by being like, well, it's okay, you can just grow a beard or a moustache and we're like, it's a girl. And you know when you're like, I know you're trying to be kind and I know that you're trying to, like, relieve us, but shut the fuck up. Like, just shh. But it happened very quickly. We had those scans. They told us about it. I think within a few days, I was at Great Ormond Street having the fetal echocardiograms.
Right, yep.
I can't remember if I went in once or twice
for that. So is it automatic? When you find out that you've got cleft, you then have to go through all these other tests to make sure, or...?
I don't know. Don't know if everyone else has had to go through that, because from what I've heard, I don't think they have.
Okay.
I think it was just a thing for Marnie.
Yeah,
I think there was something, because she was really small as well. She was like in the lowest fifth percentile.
Oh, how much did she weigh when she was born?
7'7". She was a big girl.
7 pounds 7.
She's, yeah.
Oh, that's
like normal. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but growing, she was small.
Yeah, like she was. And from the beginning, to be honest, like, I had problems with her, like, growing. The HCG levels weren't matching up. I didn't know I was pregnant for like nearly 3 months.
I
collapsed at home. That's how I found out. Called my boyfriend at work and was like, when you come home from work, can you take me to A&E? And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, like, I'm having really bad stomach pains and I've collapsed. Like, I've passed out, but I'm okay now. But can you just take me? And he's like, why don't you go now? I'm like, no, I'm sure it'll be fine. And at A&E, they were like, well, unless you're pregnant, there's nothing we can do. And I was like, well, I don't think I am. She's like, well, let's just test you anyway. And it turned out I was. But I thought I'd been pregnant for months. I'd literally taken so many pregnancy tests. Everything was negative. I almost got run over by a Royal Mail driver on my bike. Didn't know.
Oh,
like,
didn't.
Yeah. So it was like everything was against me from the beginning. Everything was against her from the beginning. Like, absolute nightmare.
Wow. Oh, God, that must have been a shock then.
In the middle of a pandemic as well, like...
Oh, so when did you get pregnant? What is she one now?
She's just turned one in...
Just turned one.
In middle of Feb. So...
It's 2022.
Yeah.
So she was born in 2021.
Yeah,
so...
So
you got pregnant, like... May time.
Yeah, 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 I think it was May. I think we tried to figure it out.
Okay, so it was bang right in the...
Right in the middle, because I'd just had my birthday. I was like, okay, well, if we're having this lockdown, I'm going to get into the best shape of my life. I'm working out every day. I look amazing. I'm eating salmon and veg for dinner every day, like working out 4 hours a day because I had nothing to do.
Yeah.
And I was smoking and then found out I was pregnant. So it was like, cool, all that for nothing. Great, thank you. But yeah, it was a big shock when we found out about her. I had to have, so from the get-go, there's been medical problems with her. So I was going to like an emergency scan every day for 7 days. I had to have blood tests every 48 hours to check my levels because the size of the embryo wasn't matching up to the hormone levels. There weren't.
Right.
And it, so she's been complicated from birth. She still is. She's an absolute nightmare. Love her, but can she not? But yeah, so it was like, I think because of all that as well.
Yeah.
And because she'd been so tiny,
oh, God.
I just knew that something wasn't right.
So you found out about that and you started having the scans. How long did it take for them to tell you that she was okay?
So I think it was about 3 months. So I found out when I was 10 or 11 weeks pregnant, they couldn't find a heartbeat.
Right.
That's why I was having the scans every day.
Yeah.
So then after the 7 days or 5 days of the daily scans, because then that was the other thing. If they couldn't find a heartbeat, they'd recommend me to have a medical abortion.
Right.
Which is fine, because if it wasn't viable, it's not viable.
Yeah.
So after, I think it was like 5 days of scans every day, then they were like, okay, well, we're just going to do blood tests every like 48 hours or something. So then I was having those every 48 hours for maybe like 5 days or like, just like another week, basically. Yeah. So I think I got to like 3 months, 12 weeks. And that's when I had my first scan, like my first proper scan.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, yeah, there it is. And I was like, oh, okay, so there is something in there. Like, we've not just made this up.
Yeah.
But it was worrying because it's like, I didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
So that was scary.
So then the 20-week fat scan, you find out she's cleft. And then there might also be a lot more wrong.
Yeah, so it was just like manic from then. I think within 2 weeks we found out that she was actually okay.
Okay.
So I had to have, the fetal echocardiogram. Sorry guys, because this is really,
it's
really jumping, isn't it? But
no, it's fine.
There's just a lot. So yeah, I had the fetal echocardiogram. They said her heart looks good. Everything's fine. Spoke to the fetal ECG lady while I was there because my partner has a son from before.
Yep.
And apparently he was born with a hole in his heart.
Oh, wow.
Turns out probably wasn't a hole in his heart, because if it was, he would have had to have surgery. What the fetal echocardiogram lady said was, a lot of the time babies are born, you have these flaps in your heart that open and close.
Yes.
His probably wasn't closing properly, but then it did, and that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
She said not related.
Okay.
So obviously I'm thinking, oh my God, like they're scanning her heart. He was born with this.
Yeah.
Something's really wrong. So she was amazing. She put my mind so much at rest. Then I had to have amniocentesis.
Yeah.
And then I know I've talked about like spirituality a little bit and these kind of things. Something kind of came like full circle for me when I was having my amniocentesis. So if you don't know what amniocentesis is, basically they take a needle, they put it through your stomach into where the baby is, into the amnio sac. Oh, what
amniotic
is it called?
Sac.
Amniotic sac, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
And they take some of the fluid and they test that to see if there's any genetic conditions, if she has a syndrome, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then once we'd had that, they would tell us what the results were. So the lady that came to do it also had another doctor that came in. And he was helping out. And while I was talking to him, I was like, hold on, I know this guy's name. Why do I know this guy's name? I asked him, have you ever worked at this hospital? And he was like, yeah, I work there as a gynecologist and I do surgeries there. I was like, this is really bizarre. But when I was 18, you were meant to remove my ovaries. Well, one of them. Because I've had problems with my ovaries.
Yeah.
And I thought, because of the whole, like, universe thing.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's come full circle. So he was meant to remove it. I panicked. I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through with it.
Why was that?
I had like polycystic ovaries.
Right, okay, yeah.
And I had a 7 centimeter something on my ovary, and they didn't know what it was, and I was in horrific amounts of pain.
Yeah.
And because they didn't know what it was, they said, like, look, we can go in and try and investigate, but we think the best thing to do will be to just remove the ovary, you'll have another one. At that age, I didn't want children. Because of where the position was.
Right. Okay.
Because they didn't, it wasn't a cyst.
Oh, okay.
It was a something, but okay. They didn't know what it was. So what they thought it was is... No, it's gone.
Okay.
Yeah, weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, so weird. But it was like a bit of a funny moment for me of like, you were meant to remove this. Like, I didn't really want kids or anything back then. I still don't. Like, I'm just lucky that I have her.
Yeah.
But, and now you're here, like,
take
it. Yeah, like, I just thought it was really bizarre.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so I was meant to meet you at some point in my life, but it wasn't then. So I don't know if you believe in anything weird like that, but I just thought
that's
makes your hair stand up on your arms and stuff. So I thought that was weird. But the amniocentesis was absolutely horrific.
Yes, I bet. I think my mum had that with me.
Yeah.
She was she was 36 when she had me, so 44 years ago, that was...
Yeah, I was about to say, is that old? Like,
nowadays, it's like
normal,
people
right?
don't start having kids till that age, do they? But then it was, so I'm sure she had to have that, but it just sounds absolutely horrific. Are you fully there, fully conscious, or do they numb you?
Oh, you're awake. Yeah. You get paracetamol after. I know, it's so nice. But when they do the amniocentesis, they do tell you there is a risk that your baby could like come away, essentially, because you're having to go in. I didn't realise that they would do it through my stomach.
Yeah.
I thought they'd go
up.
In So I'm there, like, didn't think anything of it. Didn't do any research, like, nothing. Just like, yeah, it's fine, whatever. And then they're like, I'm like, oh, do I need to take my trousers off? They're like, oh, no, don't worry about it. I'm like, what? They're like, no, we'll just go through, like, next to your belly button.
Yeah.
But I had to have it twice. Nothing is simple for me.
Oh.
Nothing is ever, ever simple. So I had to have it twice because the first time they did it, they couldn't get enough fluid to test, and then the second time they put it in somewhere else, so they have to, because you could hurt the baby, they have to like guide it, so they have someone doing like a scan to see exactly where the needle's going, and that was pretty awful.
How long did it take?
I don't think it actually took that long, but it felt it was not nice.
No. And then how long did you have to wait for the result?
I think it was a week.
Okay.
Oh. It wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
But you know, you have to wait like a week to get the procedure done.
Yeah.
And then you're sitting there to just have a conversation with someone, and they're saying, well, we can do the procedure in 2 days. And then they're telling you all the bad things that can happen. And I know that they have to, but you're like, I think mentally I just checked out.
Yeah.
I was just like, just do whatever you want.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you had to find out, didn't you? Like when you said about the not researching, it's like, if you have to have something done, sometimes I think it's better not to really know.
So they do give you the option that you don't have to do it.
Okay.
You can just find out. But something that myself and my partner have always said is like, if we were having a child and we knew that there was something wrong and they would not have a good quality of life, and we could prevent that. I'm not saying this is for everyone, but we feel that it would be selfish for us to continue with that.
Yeah.
So we wanted to know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure that there are people out there that...
It's an extremely personal... It's like the whole abortion thing, isn't it? It's your body and your choice to do if you want to bring a person into the world or not. Now, whatever mm-hmm. circumstances surround that, that's up to you because you're the one that's going to have to do it. I'm exactly the same. If I found out that I was going to have a child who was severely disabled, I don't think I'd want to do that. You know, having had kids who have got nothing wrong with them, touch wood, it's fucking hard.
Well, that's it.
Yeah. But that being said, you know, I've got friends with disabled children and it's brought something completely different to their life and they wouldn't change it for the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but that was their choice to go on that journey. And everyone's got a right to decide whether they want to do that or not. And I don't think anyone else has got the right to judge.
No, that, definitely not. You know. And I think also it's knowing yourself as a person.
Yep.
I'm incredibly selfish. That doesn't make... I wouldn't be someone that could... Like, having Marnie and having her disabilities being what they have been, that's been enough for me.
Yeah.
I know in myself... Like when my boyfriend gets sick, I'm like, get over it. I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah.
So I know that if I was to have a child that had something significantly wrong with them or a significant difference that would continue throughout their whole life, I don't know how I as a person would be able to care for them. Not that I wouldn't love them or want to care for them, but
that's your whole life. It's when you have kids, that's your whole life anyway, isn't it? That, mm-hmm. but obviously it's added, isn't it? You know, so no, I completely get that.
Like I've got so much respect for the mums and dads that do continue because I know I couldn't do it, and I just think like hats off to them. Like, I don't know how they do it.
No, I get that.
Yeah.
So so you found out after a week that everything, thank goodness, was.
Yeah. So they said it was okay. Like, I'm pretty sure they said like it's not 100% guarantee.
Yes.
But from looking at the because they got to cover their arses, don't they?
Well, nothing's 100%, anyway, is it? You know, when they tell you what the sex is, it's not...
No, exactly.
They do get it wrong sometimes.
And even looking at her cleft, they thought it was a lot worse than it was when she came out.
Yeah.
You know, they said they thought she had cleft palate. They thought she had this.
So what's cleft palate then?
So you know the bit in the roof of your mouth? That's when
That's not fused.
Not fused. So there's a big hole
there. There's a big hole.
But that can cause so many other problems.
Right.
And a lot of the time, babies have cleft palate without the cleft lip.
Right, okay.
But if your baby has cleft palate, they don't generally see that through a scan. You find out once the baby's born.
Oh, okay.
They'll just stick their finger up there.
Yeah.
They have a feel around and see what's going on.
Yeah.
So, back to that debate of whether it's better to know or not.
Yes, yeah.
You know... I think for us, knowing was good. We prepared ourselves.
Yeah.
But also, I've got a boyfriend who's got it. Yeah. He's got the same thing. So when you see him and you see his life and everything that he's been able to achieve and who he is, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
You're still sad, but you're like, we'll get over it. We'll get through it. It's fine.
So once she was born, what did you have to do then?
It's complicated because the NHS is great and the nurses and the midwives and everyone that works at the NHS is not taken care of anywhere near enough.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because of that, patients aren't taken care of as well as they need to be.
Yeah.
So the care for cleft babies is left to a charity called CLAPPER, Cleft Lip and Palate Association. Now, the cleft nurses only work Monday to Friday. You tell me what baby only comes Monday to Friday, you know? So right. What they said, because they believed she had the palate as well, cleft babies can't breastfeed. They can't get suction. So because there's a gap in their lip or in their palate, they can't suction properly.
Right.
So if it was severe and she can't suction, I can't feed her, how is she going to eat?
Yeah.
Well, they'll put a feeding tube in.
Right.
To me, that's not necessary. That should be a last resort. So I was like, okay, cool. Well, if you guys work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, I'm going to have a cesarean and you'll be there. because there's no way you're sticking a feeding tube in my kid that doesn't need it.
Yeah.
It's just, to me, it's just unnecessary.
Yeah.
You know, she'll be born, you'll be there, you show me how to feed her. So they have to have special bottles. Some of them have special teats. Some of them feed from a spoon. Some of them, the bottles are soft and squishy. I should have brought some to show you everything. But every child with cleft, just like any other baby that is born, is completely different to the next one.
Yeah.
So what worked for my daughter, the cleft bottles, she didn't like them, was not a fan.
Yeah.
So we went and we spent so much money. We bought everything, basically every bottle that existed in Boots and others from like John Lewis, anywhere that we could find bottles, just bought them all and tested everything out. We were mixing and matching teats. We were doing everything we could to find a way to feed her.
Yeah.
That was going to be comfortable for her because she can't make that suction. I tried to breastfeed her. I wanted to at least try because some of them can. If it's not too bad, you can do something. But she couldn't do it. And and it was just such a hassle. Bit of a lazy mum, really. Like, I just find it all very intense. So trying to breastfeed this baby that can't breastfeed and she's struggling.
It's hard enough.
Yeah. Like,
you know, you just got to find what works. Yeah. For you, the easiest thing.
Well, I was in hospital for 4 days with her.
Wow.
Because they needed to make sure that she could eat.
So what did she go for? What did she like?
So I gave her Aptamil in the beginning.
I mean, with the tea, was it? Did she have a bottle or did she?
So at that time, we just had these. When you go on the website, on the Clapper website, you can have a look and see what the newborn like starter kit is, and there are different bottles there. And we just got the most basic one. And what it is, it's like it's just like squeezy. It's just like a soft plastic that you can squeeze, and the nipple on it. So all the nipples now are really flat because they're meant to look like a boob and simulate breast and all of this stuff, but a flat thing can't fit into her mouth because she needed something to block that hole.
Yeah.
Because if she's got that hole, she's not able to suck.
Yeah.
So we found that the nipples that were more bulbous.
Yes, yeah.
She could drink out of them because she could slot the little
bulb
into her little hole. So she used to have, she'd be feeding like to the side. It was so funny. So all the bottle, you'd put it in and sort of angle it. And then as she's drinking, because she can suction, but not as well.
Yeah.
You're having to squeeze the bottle just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it just pushes the milk in. And if she wasn't doing that, I'd just get a little spoon and just spoon milk in. Or sometimes I'd literally just like squeeze my boob into her mouth.
Yeah.
Just to get something in there. You know, because in the beginning, I was 27 when I had her, so I wasn't super young, but I was like the first one out of anyone that I knew to have a baby.
Yeah.
I didn't know anything about taking care of a child, let alone one with a cleft lip. I think on the same night or the next morning, she was like crying, and I'm going to the midwife like, she just won't shut up. And they're like, well, have you changed her? I'm like, what do you mean have I changed her? They're like, her nappy, like, have you changed her nappy? I'm like, no, do I have to do that? Like, I just didn't, because in my head, I just thought she'd just tell me. Like, it didn't register to me that this person, like, I need to do everything for her. It really didn't click in my head. I didn't have NCT classes or anything like that. I didn't know anything. And so they're like, well, have you fed her? Have you changed her? Have you done this? Have you done that? I'm like, I don't know. Like, what am I meant to do? Yeah. Why is it crying? Make it stop, you know? So after like 3 days, it was fine. Got into the swing of things, routine. Great. We were still in hospital. We were meant to have like a breastfeeding specialist come and see us and try to help at least, like to see if we could do it. But they just they didn't show up. They just never showed up. So I was like, okay, whatever. Like, at this point, she's eating something. She's having this little bottle and she's getting something. So that's the most important thing. But we're on our third type of bottle now. So as she's gotten older, she's liked different things. And so originally we were on, I don't know what they're called. I think they're MAM bottles, but they were the cleft MAM bottles.
Yeah.
And then we had these Vital Baby silicone ones. Because the other thing is, with a lot of this stuff, it degrades so quickly.
Oh, really?
Because it's made out of latex, or it's made out of, like, these soft plastics that... So we did cold sterilisation, because I'd read the heat from the microwave ones just deteriorates the bottles so quickly.
Right, okay.
I don't have money to just throw away, so it's like, okay, well, we'll do that. She still likes latex now.
How do you cold sterilise?
So you have these, like, it's Milton.
Oh, okay. The tablets in the water.
Like,
yeah.
Because I did try at first to use the microwave one, because when we were in hospital, that's what they had.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it, and then it would burn the latex teats, and it was just...
Yeah.
I just found it pain in the arse.
Yeah.
So she was having that, and she did really well. Like, she's got a really big appetite. She loves to eat. She's a little fatty. Like, you literally, you cannot eat anything without her coming over, hands straight in there, straight in her mouth. She eats everything and anything. She's crazy.
Did you wean her around the same time?
I weaned her really early. It's not really recommended, because now they recommend that you wean at 6 months.
Okay.
But I think as a parent, you know what your child needs.
Yeah.
So as time went on, her and I, we have this, like, super duper close bond. I just know anything she needs before she's even made a sound. And so we were coming up to 3 months. She was having her surgery. So when she was 3 months, she had her rhinoplasty done, because her nose was so crooked.
Right.
She couldn't breathe out of one of her nostrils because it was so flat. So she couldn't breathe out of that. So they put a little stitch in here and it pulled it all up.
Right, so they put a stitch up her nose.
They put a stitch in her forehead.
Okay.
Which pulled her nose up.
Okay.
And made it more symmetrical, because it's very droopy on one side. And then they closed up the hole here on her lip.
How do they close it up?
There's a few different methods that they've been using, and they've been using these methods for literally hundreds of years.
Wow.
It's insane. So since the 1800s and even before that.
Oh, wow.
Like, I don't know what year Genghis Khan was, but we're talking, like, a long time ago. You would think that they would just close it together along the line. But what they do is they take a section out, and it's kind of in, like, a C shape.
Yeah.
And then they put it back together like that. Because also what they need to do is, you've got a muscle inside of here.
Right.
And that controls everything around here.
Your cheek and your lips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the muscle, they have to reattach that muscle.
Right, okay.
I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think they used to do that. I think it was very much aesthetic before.
Yes.
And they would just close it.
Yeah.
But now, with all the research that they've been doing, they take that muscle from in there and they pull it over. And it just gives them more movement. And
okay, yeah.
They can do everything. Like, if you looked at her, it's only... You notice that her lip is a little bit different. So one side of her lip sits a lot lower and it's a little bit baggy.
Yep.
And then when she's older, she can have a surgery. They'll take some of her lip away.
Okay.
So that it's more symmetrical.
Yeah.
But that's only if she wants it. It's completely up to her. But there are so many different types of surgeries that it is really dependent on what cleft that you have.
Yeah.
There's something that I don't think she'll need it, because hers isn't that bad. But there's something called an Abbey flap, where they take a piece from, like, the bottom of the mouth and move it to the top. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're, like, the plastic surgery today that they do not just for the function, but for the aesthetic way that things look is, I don't know how they do it. But they think about everything.
Yeah.
And it's all for the children. I could go in there and be like, well, I want her to have this done and I want that done. And they'll be like, no, what does she want? They'll sit and talk to the child and that's really important. I think that's really important.
So she was 3 months old when she had that done. Mm-hmm. Wow.
They're not normally that young, but she'd progressed so well. She was eating so much. She was growing so quickly. She was so strong. She'd put a lot of weight on. She's like really incredible. I know she's like my kid, so I'm going to say that. But from like right from the beginning where we were and what we thought was going to happen to her, it's just so nice to see how far she's come.
Well, it must be, that it's got to be the worst thing. Finding out that there might be something wrong with your baby.
Yeah.
And then all the awful... I mean, it's bad enough, you worry enough anyway, but when someone kind of confirms that there might be something wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So then, thank God.
It's like...
She's all right.
It's that sigh of relief almost, because, you know, you expect the people around you to be supportive and to take care of you and to help you, and especially, like, family members. And when family members say certain things that aren't nice, or like my partner, his sister made a comment about, well, you're young, you can just have another one. That's not what you want to hear when someone's telling you that you've been growing this person inside of you, or to make a comment about how she's not perfect, or like, it's bad enough when you have this kid and they're born, and like, I have such bad anxiety anyway.
Yeah.
But to be terrified to leave the house because people would just stare and point at your child, like...
Do people still do that? No.
No.
Can you tell? When you look at her, can you tell? Or not?
I don't think you can.
Yeah.
And, like, we go to baby group now and we meet lots of people, and it's very different now that she's had her surgery. And now that she's, like... Her face is fatter, she's like grown into herself more, you can't tell at all.
Yeah.
But when she was really small, it was like...
How common is it?
1 in 700 babies are born with cleft.
Okay.
So it's very common. Yeah. If you think about how many babies are born every day, if one baby is born every minute, you know, how many babies every day just in the UK alone are born with cleft? Like, it shouldn't be a thing. No one should be pointing at a baby because they look different. Like, what is wrong with you?
No one should be pointing at anyone because they look different. I mean, you know, I don't understand that. I don't understand how you could point at, especially not at a kid, you know. But some, unfortunately, some people are. But
I understand, like, it's shocking. I was scared to hold my own child when she was born because I was like, what is this? Not because I didn't love her, but it was shocking for me to see. It was scary. Like, I get that, but ask a question.
Yeah.
I'm not someone that... I know there's a lot of stuff on Instagram. Like, if you start looking on TikTok, Instagram, where people talk about cleft, or young people that talk about cleft talk about how they've been affected and the words that they don't like people to use. I don't think there's anything wrong with somebody coming up and asking me what's wrong with her, because I know that they don't mean that in a horrible way. All about intention. It's not what you're saying, it's how you say it.
If
you're confused, if you don't know what it is, if you're worried, ask me. I will talk to you for hours about it. That's why I'm here. I want people to know, like, it's normal. Maybe it's not normal, like, for everybody else, but it is very normal. 1 in 700 children are born like this.
That's
not a small amount. We just don't register pre-surgery clefts. We're not used to that. We don't see, because these kids are having these surgeries done so young. Like, Manu was 3 months. A lot of her friends are between 6 months and a year that are having these surgeries done. You know, how often do you look at a small child and think, oh, their face looks funny? You don't. You just think, oh, they're a bit different, whatever. You don't actually think, oh, well, what was before that?
Yes.
What did they look like before?
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. You don't really see, considering it is so common, you don't really see that many people. But I suppose that's because they have the surgery and then you can't tell anyway, really.
Well, exactly. And they have, a lot of them have so many surgeries.
So will she have any more surgery?
Yeah. The only surgery that she's scheduled for at the moment is when she's 7.
Right, okay.
And that will be to fix her gum. And that's going to be a hard one.
So is the gum still open then?
Yeah, yeah. So it's, you can't tell now though.
Yeah.
Because where they fit the muscle back together.
Yeah.
What the muscle has done is it's started to close that gap.
Okay.
So it's pulled it down. So her, I'll show you pictures after, but her, her gum used to, it's so gross. Like, I feel so sorry for her because she's going to have to see these pictures when she's older. But her gum used to stick out of her gap.
Right, okay, yeah, I'll
and
get
she'd
that.
Get in so much pain because it would get dry and sore and it would crack. Because if you think your mouth is wet all the time, so that the skin is different inside of your mouth. So that was outside of her mouth.
And they're sensitive,
yeah,
aren't they?
And she would cry and it would blister and it was. I taught her, so she still does this in the mornings. We say, Marnie, lip balm. So we do lip balm every day and she likes that because from when she was a baby, it was like, we have to keep this moist.
Yeah.
And after her surgery, we had to put like Vaseline and moisturizer on and massage the area so the nerves were used to it being touched and the movement and the feeling and everything else. So the next surgery is to fix the gum.
Okay.
So it's still open. The hole is, or the gap is very small.
So how do they do that?
So they take a piece of bone, either from her hip or her rib.
Okay.
And then they put it in there.
Okay.
And then she's not allowed to eat for a long time. Fluid only, like soft things, milkshakes. She's going to, I think she'll have a good time. Because she's just going to be able to eat
she's
crap.
She's still young enough for it not to be too, because kids do kind of tend to get on with stuff.
Yeah.
So she's young enough, hopefully, for, but still that's a, yeah, that's going to be a, not you, a nice thing.
No, and you wouldn't wish that on someone.
Yeah.
And when we talk about it, like me and my partner, and you know, we kind of brace ourselves.
Yeah.
For what's coming. Yeah. And I follow a lot of other mums with cleft children on Instagram, and there's this one lady that I follow, and it's really creepy because her daughter has the exact same cleft as Marnie, the exact same place, and they look very similar.
Oh, wow.
So it, like, creeps me out all the time. Like, when I see baby pictures of this little girl, I'm like, whose child is that? But
well, then that's good, because at least you can see how she's getting on.
Well, exactly. And so she had her surgery quite recently.
Okay.
And she's only just started eating again. And she flew through it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, it wasn't fun for her. It's not an enjoyable experience. But she seems to be doing really well. And it's that kind of thing that it gives you that peace of mind of like, okay, it's horrible. You don't want your kid to have to go through this. This isn't what you want.
Yeah.
But when you see somebody else that's doing it or has done it, it kind of makes it feel like it's okay.
Yeah. And also, if it is that common, they're doing it a lot. It's not like it's a really rare, you know.
Well, the surgeons are just amazing.
Yeah. Where will she have it done? At Brett Ormond Street?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're outstanding. They're just all the staff, everyone. They're so kind, so helpful. Literally anything. Like, as a parent, we worry about absolutely everything. But I'm also someone that hates hospitals.
Yeah.
So whenever she's had to have a surgery or something done, I'm always like, okay, what's the least amount of time that I need to be in here?
Yeah.
And they're always like, well, you know, like, let's see how she goes, but she's been doing so well, and I do think it is the care that she's been receiving, like not just from us, but from her actual medical teams. Like, if it wasn't for them.
So do you have to take her for checkups?
She hasn't had one in ages now, no. If we get worried about anything, so we have a nurse that we can contact at all times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
She's really lovely. She's so cute.
Where are you under? What hospital were you under?
We're Whipps Cross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's funny because we've got a lady that lives near us and her son has cleft palate, We met in the pub, actually. We cried. It was a great moment. I was like, hold on, that's a cleft bottle. What's going on? But yeah, so he came to, it was Marnie's birthday recently. He came to her birthday and we were talking and we realised we've got the same cleft nurse, the same surgeon, like all of these things. So it's a little community. It's quite nice.
Yeah, so I was going to say, did you find support groups? Did the charity put you in touch with anyone? Or
I think you can.
Yeah.
I'm just quite an insular person. I'm not very, like, outgoing or anything. Like, coming here was a big deal. I was like, oh, God, I have to leave the house. But, yeah, I think there's stuff out there if you want it.
Yeah.
You just have to go and find it.
Yeah.
But there's loads and loads of stuff. Like, the Clapper Instagram, I looked at it today, and they do these Zoom coffee mornings or coffee clubs, and you can go and they have different topics and you talk about it, and I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
And especially if you're someone that is struggling coming to terms with it all as well, because I think especially when I was pregnant I would sit there for hours and just look at pictures of these babies and cry.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, that's why it's so great that you've come here today to talk about it, because if someone was now in that in your situation when you were pregnant, you know, if you've got information that you can go to find out that actually, obviously it's not nice, but it can be okay, you know.
And that's the thing, I think, when I was pregnant and I didn't really know, I didn't really understand. My boyfriend had his surgeries, like, he's old, so a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, the knowledge that we had from my in-laws was great, but it wasn't up to date. And it was just very, like, I'm such a loner anyway. It was really, really isolating.
Yeah.
Because you're going to these scans and you're, I don't know, I think the worst thing is, like, you're going on social media, you're seeing all these babies, like, doing things and looking at things and mums with their daughters, and you think, am I going to be able to do that?
Yeah.
Like, will her speech be affected?
Will it be affected?
It can be.
Okay.
We just have to find out. Like, she's passed all her hearing tests.
Okay.
So babies with cleft can often need, like, speech therapy.
Okay.
They can be more at a risk of being deaf because their tubes and stuff can't clear out properly, and they have to get grommets and all these other things. Like, I think when people look at a cleft baby, they're like, oh, well, you've had your surgery, you're fine. Like, you know, it's done now. It's not. It's so much more. Yeah. That's why we weaned so early, because it was such a hassle to... I think she struggled so much to drink milk that she was just like, fuck this, just give me a chip.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm done with this now, give me the chips, you know?
Yeah.
Because it made it easier for her to eat.
Yeah.
After she started weaning, she was like a different child.
Yeah.
Like, when she was born, she was this long, scraggly, like, little thing. She was so skinny. And no matter how much she ate, she was always hungry and she just couldn't...
Yeah.
You couldn't feed her quick enough.
Yeah.
She wasn't getting enough milk. She had terrible reflux and colic and this and that. And it was just like one thing after the other.
Yeah.
And so although she was strong enough to have her surgery, when you looked at other babies that were her age, she was very skinny compared to them.
Yeah.
And then after her surgery, after she started weaning, after all this, she was just like a different kid. She wasn't hungry all the time anymore. Yeah. She wasn't like... attacking you for milk, and it was really good for her. She could say words.
Yeah.
You know, like, she started to make noises because she couldn't do that before. She couldn't. There were so many things that I think you don't think about.
Yeah.
But then you do think about other things, like, oh, is she going to get a boyfriend?
Well, has it affected your partner's life?
I mean, he's with me and I'm amazing. Exactly. So obviously.
But has it affected him?
So he was severely bullied.
Oh, really?
Growing up, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, kids were not nice to him. And I think having that in the back of your mind all the time, knowing what he's been through, it does make you think, are they going to be mean to her?
I do think, like, from my experience with my eldest daughter, Lola, kids these days tend to be very more accepting of differences, and it has kind of gone more to the being compassionate and helpful to people rather than picking on them for... I'm hopeful that that is
I believe that that's what's going to happen. I think kids are always going to be mean, regardless. That's what children are like.
Yeah.
But a lot of it starts at home.
Yeah.
And things are different now. People treat people differently now. Like, even before having Marnie, I was so aware of people with differences because I didn't... Because I worked in hair salons for so many years and I worked with people. I didn't ever want anybody else to feel uncomfortable. Having her, it was like, I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because there are people like me out in the world. There are people like your daughter that's doing her own thing, you know? Yeah, she's so fucking cool. But, like, now kids aren't bullying as much.
Yeah.
So I think it will be okay.
Yeah, I hope so. I think the world is changing a bit more like that. And people are more talking more about things and people are more aware of things.
Well, that was the one thing that actually, I think, like, helped me so much. And it's something so small, and this woman probably doesn't even think about this, but I think about it, like, nearly every day. So when Marnie was probably, like, 2 months old, I've got two different prams. One's really big and really heavy, but it faces towards me. And whenever she goes in that pram, it's just my instinct to have her face towards me because I could cover her so no one could see her.
Yeah.
And then my partner got a different pram for her that's lighter and could fold up.
Yeah.
Because I would try and go into work in central London and I'd take her with me to do a couple things or, you know, I couldn't take that pram everywhere because I don't drive. So he was like, okay, we'll get a lighter pram. So we got this other pram, but the thing with it is she was so exposed.
Yeah.
And so when she was so exposed, I was even more anxious because people could see her.
Yeah.
And she hadn't had a surgery at this point. I was in Boots in Westfield. And these ladies started, like, fawning all over her. Like, just the women that worked there. And I was just like, thank you so much. Like, why was I thanking people for being nice to her?
Yeah.
You know? And not making it feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
And this lady, she's like a... not older, maybe like in her 40s. A really kind, lovely black lady. She was so nice. And she said to me... she's like, don't worry. And I was like, what? And she's like, I know you're worrying. Don't worry about it. She's like, my son has burns all over him.
Oh, wow.
And it's fine. She's like, all the girls love him. He's outgoing. He's doing great. She's like, don't worry about it.
Aww.
And so when I'm having, like, a bad day or I look at her and I think, like, so every day after that, it was like, I'm still anxious, but fuck it.
Yeah.
Fuck everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's cool. Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
There was something about what she said to me that just, like, it just did something to my head.
Yeah, yeah.
So then after she said that, I was like, doesn't matter. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like, it is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it is. And the more you don't worry, the more she won't worry about it, you know, as you'll have that confidence to...
And I think that's it, because she's the most outgoing person I know, and she's 1 year old. Like, I'm so shy, I don't know where she's gotten this from, but everywhere we go, and from very young after that, she just makes friends with everyone. Everywhere we go, everyone loves her. She's obsessed with people, always chatting, talking to everyone, waving. She goes on her scooter, I push her around, she, like, waves at the cars. Hi, hi. I'm like, can you stop? So I don't know if it's because I was able to just...
Yeah.
Whatever that woman said to me, I don't know, it just did something. And
do you go baby club? Do you go to groups and stuff?
Yeah, sometimes. On a Friday, it just depends because of, like, work and stuff. Like, if I'm really busy, then I don't take her. But in the beginning, it was weird. Like, I had this thing. Sometimes I still do it. Like, I have to announce to everyone that she's got a cleft lip, so nobody asks a question. Okay. Not that they don't ask, but I don't want people to be going home and being like, oh, did you... Or they get... Some of the mums, they're quite clicky at this baby group.
Yeah.
So they go to the pub after, and me and Marnie, we go home, we have cheese sandwich, but, like... You know, they go to the pub, and I didn't want anyone to be, like, going to the pub and sitting there and being like, did you see that baby's face?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I literally have heard people say that about her. Like, imagine you are doing your shopping and you are holding your newborn child. You're just trying to buy some, like, sweet corn or something, and someone's like, to their friend, did you see that baby's face? And then they walk past you multiple times to see the baby's face. And you want to say something to them.
Oh, my God.
You want to say something, but for me, I'm so nervous and anxious. And
yeah, and that's just going to be... I'd cry.
Well, I did.
You know, because how could you do that?
I think the thing is, like, we're people, right? So we've all seen something and gone, like, I know that I do it in the summertime when I see girls in, like, look, you can wear whatever you want to wear, but I'm like, did your mum let you go out like that? You yeah, must be that, freezing. Yeah. She's not got a coat on. It's yeah, winter.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I can see her bum cheeks. What's going on? You know, like, do whatever you want to do. I'm just old.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure when I was these young girls' age, I would do the same. I'm pretty sure there's pictures online of it, you know. But I think you do say things without thinking. But it's the things after.
Yeah.
It's the coming back to look two or three times more.
Yeah.
Say something to me. Ask me a question. You know, don't... But I think people also feel uncomfortable. What do you say in those situations?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't mean it in a horrible way. Maybe they're just the same as I was when I saw her for the first time. What the fuck is that? What do I do with this now?
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I think she's the most gorgeous girl in the world, with or without the cleft. Like, I think she's absolutely amazing. But you are sort of like... taken aback.
Yeah,
that's the reality of it. And I think I felt so guilty for so long, feeling like, am I gonna like her? Am I gonna love her? Are we gonna have a bond because of this? And I'm sure there's other mums out there that are having children with differences and that feel that way.
Yeah,
you don't need to feel guilty about that.
Yeah,
the amount of mums that feel that way about their babies they're having that don't have anything different, like, it's okay, we all do our own thing. Like, you shouldn't feel guilty. It's hard.
It is hard. It is hard, but it's... There's no one... You can't explain what it's like being a parent.
No.
Can you? And you don't know how you're going to be until you are a parent. And we're just all doing the best that we can. And the best thing is to be open and honest about how we feel.
Yeah.
Because then that helps other people. And that's why I liked going to the baby groups or whatever. Because you're all going through exactly the same shit. You know,
yeah,
and it's nice when you know that you're not the only one and you're supported, and there's always someone who knows someone that's got the same problem as you. Or you know, it's, I think that's why it's so important to talk.
That's why I think, for me, I am like quite a nurturing person, and I always have been. Kids have always loved me, whether I like them. I don't know, but like, they've always come to me. I've always looked after animals. We've got loads of lizards at home, and you know, the odd ones out, like, they're the people that come to me.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what I am. And so I feel like, going back to the like universe and spiritual thing and all of this stuff, like, I do kind of feel that she was given to me so that I could go out there and like talk about it and make other people feel comfortable. And so many mums message me on Instagram and ask me questions like, my baby's not feeding, what can I do about this, what can I do about that? Look, I don't know everything, but if I can help you, I'll do anything that I can. Even mums that are like due to have their babies will message me and they'll say, I'm so happy that you post your baby every day and we get to see her and she's so pretty and she's this and she's amazing and it makes me feel so much better.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's not shown enough.
Yeah.
Especially in the like greater wide world. I don't think we see that.
Yeah.
Even now that they're putting people with differences onto like modelling campaigns and things like that, I don't think we actually register what we're looking at.
Yeah.
I think we see a girl with Down syndrome modelling something and we think, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
They've let a girl with Down syndrome be a model. But we shouldn't have it's not like a, oh, bless her moment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas I think that's how people see it. They don't look at a person with, like, a limb difference and think she's a badass. They think, oh, that's nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, look, they've got different people in the magazines now. That's nice. I just, it's there's so many things.
Yeah.
I could literally talk to you for days. Because once you start experiencing those things or how people react to you differently when they find out, or it's your whole world changes, but it doesn't have to be a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what I've learned.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not saying that it's not been bad or hard or anything. It's I'm literally sitting here crying right now. But you know, it's like every day you wake up and you get to hug her and see her stupid little face, and she's like, I want milk, and she just wants to hug you, or you get to see her take her first steps, or you see her stand up, or she tries sweet potato for the first time, or these stupid little things. It's like, doesn't matter that she's any different to anyone else.
Yeah.
There's so much joy. So nice. She's the best.
Oh, that's lovely. Mm. Well, thank you so much for coming to talk to me.
Thanks for having me.
It's been really lovely and very educational, thank you.
Yeah, if you can put my social media somewhere.
I will do, definitely.
If anyone has any questions about anything, if you listen to this and thought, oh, actually, I wonder about this, or...
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that it's been really choppy. You know, if you have a... If you know someone that's going through something, or...
Yep.
I'm here. Oh, I'm a message away.
Thank you. Hi. Yeah, so if I've posted links to her social media, if you want to see photos of Marnie, like the before and after, it's absolutely amazing what they've done. And also the support group that she found as well. If this is your first listen to the podcast, and I've got loads of other episodes, so I highly recommend you listening to the other ones. I do something called the Epic Mum Chat with my friend Nikki, and there's a new episode of our we chat about stuff, and there's a new episode up on YouTube. If you just search Epic Mum Chat on YouTube, then that will come up. I think that's about it. I hope you're good. I hope you're well and coping in the current situation. Big love, stay safe, stay sane. Please subscribe to the podcast and share the podcast.
Work.
And I will see you next week. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.